Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Associated Press, November 1st, 2010, Baghdad. Iraq's dwindling Christian community was grieving and afraid on Monday after militants seized a Baghdad church during evening mass, held the congregation hostage, and triggered a raid by Iraqi security forces. The bloodbath left at least 52 people killed and 67 wounded, nearly everyone inside. Outside Our Lady of Deliverance Church, a Syrian Catholic church, a man leaned against the car carrying his cousin's coffin, waiting for the police to let him in to bury him on church grounds. "It was a massacre in there," he said Monday morning. "We Christians don't have enough protection." A cryptically worded statement posted late Sunday on a militant website, allegedly by the Islamic State of Iraq, appeared to claim responsibility for the attack. The group, which is linked to Al-Qaeda in Iraq, said it would exterminate Iraqi Christians if two specific women in Egypt the group claims as Muslim were not freed. In their message Sunday, the militants called on the Vatican, which held a meeting last month to discuss the fate of Christians in the Middle East, to release the women. It said, "We direct our speech to the Vatican and say that as you met with Christians of the Middle East a few days ago to support them and back them, now you have to pressure them to release our sisters. Otherwise, death will reach you all." Why do I read this 9-year-old news article on this last day of the church year? Because what we do here, why we gather here each week of every year, is important. It is about religion. What you believe about God to be true will be reflected by how you act each day and in each circumstance. Christians are told in this report, the Al-Qaeda promise, that death will visit them unless you meet Al-Qaeda's demands. Do the extremists not realize that we don't fear death? Do you realize that you don't fear death? The threat of death is nothing as compared to the threat of apostasy, which is the turning away from God and His promises, and thereby it's a means to deny our religion. God said in the Old Testament lesson today, "And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." Those who do not serve God, who are apostate, do not have God's promises for themselves. His promise of life, is what we trust in. No human promise or threat of death can turn us from believing in God's promise of life and redemption found only in Jesus. Like I said last week, that Sunday will be a memorable one. Again, what makes it memorable from last week were Jesus' words, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." That is still true this week. His words of hope and of promise, like He made today to the thief on the cross, those words of Jesus remain. He said to the thief today, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It is openly and publicly holding to the hope that we find in those words of Jesus, which has brought persecution and hardship to the Coptic Christians in Egypt, the Syrian Catholic Christians in Iraq and Syria, and to most all Christians everywhere in the Middle East. Now this brings us again to the Old Testament lesson. God makes clear there that when Jesus returns, it will be seen how God deals with the apostate, with the non-believers. God's vengeance will be terrible and righteous and just and devastating and overwhelming in its totality. And when we ponder that and its fearful implications, we must remember that that is what Jesus suffered for us on the cross as he died in our place. All of the consequences of the terrifying totality of God's vengeance on sin is what Christ endured in his death. And then he triumphed over in his resurrection to give us the covering by his blood, the covering of eternal life. And those who refuse his covering will have no escape when the Lord returns. That terrible and holy day that God promises will come, and it will come to all people. And then it will be seen by everyone how God deals with the unbeliever and the believer, how the faithless and the faithful are truly different. They are different. They are different because and only because of the grace of God that comes only in the name of Jesus Christ. God's treasured possession, spoken of in Malachi, are what we are, purely because of the holy, innocent, and righteous blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. There is comfort. There is strength in knowing that. Being his treasured possession is what we share together with those who are suffering persecution in the Middle East and elsewhere. Doing so for clinging to God's high and holy promise. Their struggle in the face of frightful oppression should give us pause in our struggle with choices and the circumstances we find ourselves in each day. Their realities give us some perspective on our lives when we have these brothers and sisters literally under fire for the faith that we share with them in the words of Jesus. Do they fear death? Certainly they fear the dying process, as we all do, since we know our own immortality. We know our own mortality on earth. In the narrow sense, it's healthy to fear death. No one welcomes whatever pain or suffering that comes with it, especially when it takes the form of terrorism. By its very name, terrorism is to be feared. But in the wide sense, no. We Christians do not fear death for death's sake. And that's where the terrorists get it wrong. In their fear of the annihilation of their religion, they believe that we also fear annihilation. But we have the words of Jesus from last week and this week that remove that fear from us. In his words to the thief on the cross this week, again, Jesus speaks the words that promise us hope. Those words of Jesus assure the thief and us that we will be with Jesus in paradise. Jesus is the heart of paradise for us because he is the resurrection and the life for all who trust in him. And the promise of God is that all who believe in Jesus will never perish but have eternal life. Paradise. Paradise is about religion. We do not perish as those who have chosen apostasy, the turning away from the words of Jesus. The posture of the Christian is hope, not realization. Listen to that again. Think about those words. The posture of the Christian is hope, not realization. That's what a preacher friend of mine once said. In other words, we don't expect to see the realization of paradise in our earthly life. Our earthly posture of hope comes from the words of Jesus alone. In them we have life, not death. The words of Christ are life, of the truth that paradise is being in Jesus' presence in heaven. I can say that because we trust in the God who made the promise in the epistle lesson from Colossians today. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Can we say that promise of peace through the blood of Jesus applies to those who are persecuted in Syria and Egypt and Iraq? Well, yes, of course. But that doesn't mean persecution is easy for them to bear. I want to read the rest of the article from the AP. On Monday, Iraqi authorities took extra measures to protect Christian neighborhoods and churches in Mosul, Kirkuk, and Baghdad. This is more than a tragedy, said Iraq's human rights minister, Wijen Mikhail, who is a Christian. Choking back tears as she spoke with reporters outside Our Lady of Deliverance Church, she said, "What is happening to Iraqis in general and Christians in particular is an attempt to push them out of the country." Karim Khalil, a 49-year-old Iraqi Christian, said he moved to Syria with his family last year because he felt his religion made him a target in Baghdad. "Iraqi militias threatened me, saying I was on the side of the Americans because I am a Christian," Karim told the AP. "They said I would be killed if I stayed in Iraq." Now he lives in Damascus with his wife and five children. "I have left behind my house and everything to escape with my family," he said. Many other Iraqi Christians living in Syria refused to speak to the Associated Press. They said they fear militias may exact revenge on their families in Iraq. Their persecution is part of our world. It impacts us because we are fellow believers with them by the words of Jesus. We can learn from them. We can learn to persevere. We gain a sense of hope and even gratitude by praying for God's care for his treasured ones in the Middle East. We can support them by remaining faithful here in our daily lives to the words of Christ that give us all a hope and a certain future. That future is secure and safe with Jesus because he went to the cross willingly and died the death of a thief. And that's because Jesus too is a thief. He came to rob Satan of his power over people, to bind them under sin, and to beat upon them with the law. Jesus is a thief, after all, so says a song from Michael Card. Jesus came to steal away the hearts that Satan had bound under the penalty of sin, which is death. That's why Jesus had to die between two thieves. He is the thief that steals away every heart who trusts in his word as we do. That word is what we gather each week to hear and to be refreshed in. We believe that his word alone will save us. We believe that in him alone is hope. In him alone is life. And because of him and his word, our religion directs that we act according to his promise and not according to any pressures that we face. And though this is the last day of the church year, and next week we begin anew with Advent and looking forward to Jesus' second coming, we remember this day that no matter what comes our way, no matter what trials or struggles or persecutions are faced by Jesus' followers, through all of that will remain the words of Jesus, which promise, as he said to his fellow thief, that we will be with him in paradise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of